this goes all the way back to like late 2016 when I was working on a series of stories about some regulatory problems at U.S. government hospitals on Indian reservations in the Upper Plains states. And what we were looking into then was that these hospitals were missing diagnoses and having patient deaths that regulators thought could have been avoided, and were starting to get sanctioned by the same U.S. government department that, in fact, operates these facilities. So we were interested in that. And as we started crawling around, you know, it became pretty clear that the problems were deeper than just kind of like an intermittent regulatory issue, and that, in fact, there were all kinds of structural issues in the Indian Health Service. And one of them was that they had a lot of doctors who probably would have struggled to get jobs elsewhere, people who've been fired or convicted of crimes. And in the course of that reporting, we started to hear about allegations of one particular doctor who purportedly was sexually abusing his child patients at the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. And this guy, Stanley Patrick Weber, was indicted in February 2017, and that's what kicked off our work on this project.
So what is the healthcare system on a reservation? Explain to our listeners the setup.
Yeah, so the setup is that there are not very many options for healthcare if you live on a remote Indian reservation. And the one option in most cases is something called the Indian Health Service. This is a U.S. government agency, and it runs hospitals and clinics on reservations as part of 19th century treaties with Indian tribes. In many cases, it's literally the only place to go if you need to see a doctor and you live in a place like Pine Ridge or the Blackfeet Reservation in Montana. You know, other than that, you have to drive, in some cases, hours to a place where you might not get seen because you're likely not to, you know, have insurance, you know, or otherwise be able to access healthcare at all. So it's a difficult, you know, situation because the choices are quite slim, and yet it's a real challenge to run facilities in such remote places because, well, basically doctors and nurses don't want to go work and live there, and they have other choices.
So you're now investigating this hospital at the Blackfeet Indian Reservation in Browning, Montana, and Dr. Stanley Patrick Weber.
Yeah, that's right. So Dr. Weber actually started his career in the 1980s at the Indian Health Service, and we sort of pick up his trail at about the third IHS facility where he worked. This was in Browning, Montana, on the Blackfeet Res. My colleague Dan Frosch went out there and interviewed a lot of people who we worked with in the mid-90s. And what happened is that a parent ultimately complained that a child in her family was sleeping at Dr. Weber's house overnight, and a relative of a kid ended up beating up Dr. Weber. And, you know, these incidents attracted the attention of management, who up to that point had already been getting complaints about this particular physician's strange behavior towards children, things like stockpiling video games and treats and things and having kids hang around his house at all hours. So they decided they had to take action. And instead of investigating or firing Dr. Weber, what they did is they transferred him to another reservation, this time in South Dakota, the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. And it set in motion this sort of 21-year saga in which the federal government missed all kinds of warning signs that their doctor was, you know, potentially molesting the kids he was treating. And now, you know, that same physician has gone on to be indicted in federal court in two different districts and convicted in Montana.
How many government officials are involved in this and passing this doctor along from state to state, facility to facility?
You know, it's not totally clear how high up the chain it goes. We interviewed people who were well aware of these circumstances, at least in the regional headquarters of the Indian Health Service in South Dakota that oversaw the Pine Ridge Hospital. And, you know, at this point, obviously, it's reached to the upper echelons of the agency. You know, at the time, it's not totally clear where the complaints about the physician were going to die. But people who had titles like the CEO of the hospital and the chief medical officer at the regional headquarters, you know, were very much aware of, and in fact, in some cases, directly receiving complaints about the physician and his conduct towards kids. And, you know, in some cases, those complaints were investigated, you know, at least a cursory investigation. And in other cases, they were just kind of dropped because it appeared that, you know, people believed the easier thing to do, you know, in the absence of really hard proof was just nothing.
Was there time available, or were there some of the child patients who were willing to talk on camera?
So we talked to a number of the kids who have made allegations about Dr. Weber, including, you know, some who are not sort of participating in the criminal investigation of him. It's a challenge to get most of these kids on camera. The three that we developed, you know, sort of ongoing relationships or conversations with, were at the time all in jail or prison, and we weren't able to go in and film people in those circumstances. We did record a series of interviews with some of these people, and, you know, they were able to kind of fill in pretty detailed accounts of what had happened between them and Dr. Weber, you know, going back to their childhoods.
Do you believe there's a larger issue here? It's not just one doctor, but there are many more.
We found many more examples, you know, just in our reporting of the story. You know, we found, for instance, that one of Dr. Weber's superiors at the time that the Indian Health Service investigated his conduct in 2009 was, in fact, the guy who about a year later would go on himself to be arrested on child pornography charges. You know, several of us, of Dr. Weber's colleagues at the Pine Ridge Hospital and many more at other facilities around the agency's network have themselves faced all kinds of allegations, both of sort of clinical problems or, in some cases, legal issues. You know, there have been people who got jobs at the Indian Health Service after being convicted of crimes, in one case, including a guy who had been convicted of a series of crimes, such as exposing himself to a teenage girl. There was a doctor who lost a job at an Oregon emergency room after it became public that he had testified as a prosecution witness in the trial of a local pimp to having slept with an underage prostitute. And the IHS, knowing this, hired him anyway to an ER job in North Dakota. And, you know, the common theme in talking to sort of top-level administrators at the agency was that it was just hard to fill those positions. It was hard to find ER doctors or family medicine doctors who want to practice in really dire remote circumstances and live, you know, probably far away from their families, far away from amenities like, I don't know, bowling alleys and grocery stores and other basic things, and to meet the need that the Indian Health Service has to meet at its hospitals. And as a result, administrators time and time again would compromise and hire people who were desperate for a job and likely wouldn't have been able to find a position at, I don't know, a hospital in New York or Grand Rapids, say.
Well, now that this has been exposed, what is the solution? When you talk with the Department of Health and Human Services, knowing the challenges, what is the solution?
Well, I mean, it's beyond my mandate to tell them what they ought to do. You know, when we talked to the current leader of the Indian Health Service, a guy named Rear Admiral Michael Wiocki, what he's done is ordered an independent investigation that the agency plans to undertake to try to figure out exactly what happened. You know, he's taking steps to try to encourage people who might become whistleblowers to speak up and promising that they won't face retribution, which has been an ongoing problem in the agency. He's sounding the message, right, that administrators should always choose protecting patients over filling slots when it comes to the kind of balancing act we were just discussing. But it's a really tall order because the agency faces all kinds of sort of basic challenges, both in terms of the remoteness of the facilities that it needs to staff and operate, in terms of the amount of money that it has to try to accomplish this feat, and in terms of a, you know, sort of broad and entrenched bureaucracy that at times can struggle to navigate sometimes difficult politics on the ground.
Wall Street Journal reporter and frontline correspondent Christopher Weaver. The investigation documentary is called Predator on the Reservation. It airs Tuesday night at 10 o'clock right here on WGVU. Christopher, thank you so much for your reporting and taking the time with us today.
Sure thing. Thanks a lot.